I've got the time is 2:02, so in order to be respectful to everyone's time, we're going to go ahead and get started. And so on the line with us this afternoon is Arkansas Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin. Most importantly, Governor Griffin would probably want you to know that he is married. His beautiful wife, Elizabeth, is actually my high school classmate, and they have several lovely children. He was first elected Lieutenant Governor in 2014 and reelected as our Lieutenant Governor in 2018. Governor Griffin is a former member of the United States Congress from the 2nd District of Arkansas, where he served two terms. He is also a former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas and a former senior staffer to President George Bush. He was Deputy Senior Political Director. Most important to me is that Governor Griffin is a small business owner and an NFIB member. And so with that, Governor Griffin, I'm going to turn it over to you for some opening comments.
Well, thank you for having me on. My kids are, they are delightful or whatever you said, however you describe them, but they're not always obedient. But I've got three young ones, 12, almost 13, going on 30, 10, and a two-year-old. And so I have experienced this pandemic not only as an elected official and as someone who is in the Army Reserve and has jobs, but also as a parent who's had to juggle in the middle of this with school and all. And it's been interesting, to say the least. I appreciate y'all letting me join you on this call. I want to say at the outset a couple of things just so that everybody gets whatever help they might need if you're looking for information. So the first thing I want to do is give you my, if you get a pen out, actually I'll just mention that so people can grab a pen. While I say a couple other things, if you grab a pen, I'll get back in here in a minute and give you my office number, and I'll give you also my cell phone number. There may be 10,000 people on here. I don't know, but I'll give you my cell phone number. Just don't all call at once. And I just want to say that because if we do not get to your question today or if we don't have the specific answer to your question, then feel free to call my office or call me. And we will make sure that we get that to you. The other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, the lieutenant governor role here in Arkansas is different from a lot of other states. And that is the lieutenant governor is elected separately from the governor. In a lot of states, the governor chooses the lieutenant governor. They run as a ticket, sort of like a vice president and a president do. But in Arkansas, the lieutenant governor is elected and runs and all of that completely separate and independent from the governor. So what that means is on a day-to-day basis, sometimes we work very closely together if it's an issue that we both want to work on, or the governor asked me to work on something that I want to help on that issue or whatever. But there are a lot of times where we are acting separately. So I say all that to say, if you have a question that is about a particular program that a state agency is implementing, that agency may not report to me, and I certainly don't have authority over it, but we know a lot of those people, and we can look into the issue, and we can help you get to an answer of some sort. One way or the other, we'll get an answer. It may not be the answer we all want, but we can help you do that, even though these agencies report to the governor and they don't work for me. So I wanted to say that. I think that's really important. My cell phone is 501-837-5190. It's the same one I've had for, I guess, over 10 years now. And my office is 501-682-2144. So I appreciate y'all. Let me say a few words. What I will do is just comment on a few things, and then we'll start taking we'll start taking some questions. One of the areas that I've heard a lot about relates to liability protections. And there are a lot of small business folks who are rightly concerned about getting sued. And I'm talking about specifically getting sued in the context of COVID-19. And so businesses have already been, as many of you know, have already been hit hard, incredibly hard, by this pandemic. And they have so much to worry about already. They're worrying about how to make payroll, whether they're going to have customers, et cetera, whether they have to lay people off, what have you. They have to worry, a lot of you have to worry about competing for labor with the federal government unemployment bonuses. You know, I've heard from a lot of you, both big and small businesses, that it's making it hard to keep folks working because some people can make more money on unemployment than working. The last thing that you need is an additional thing to worry about, and that is the threat of a frivolous lawsuit. So I know for a fact that the governor's appointed task force is looking at this issue specifically, legal protections in the wake of the pandemic, and they have not finalized all of it. They've already put some out in a directive, the governor did, as it relates to healthcare workers, but they have not finished everything with regard to protecting businesses. That is something that I expect pretty soon. Randy Zook at the state chamber, I know, is the point person on that. And if there's someone in particular interested in specifics on that, we can talk to Randy about that. But I think that is on a lot of people's minds as we get back to work and get the economy going again. The other thing that I would emphasize is, and this applies not only to small businesses, but it applies to Arkansans on the whole. You know, as we start to open back up, a lot of folks that you will certainly encounter, customers and others, they may feel like, because we're opening up, that somehow they're a lot safer and they can relax and maybe the virus has gone away or whatever. And the truth is, not a lot has changed in terms of where the virus is and the number of infections, et cetera. In fact, we've had some recent spikes in the state. So I say that just to say precautions are really, really important. We must continue to follow the guidance. You know, I haven't done a ton of public speaking events or anything like that. In fact, I think I've only done one where there was a crowd, and it was less than 50, and that was yesterday. And Siloam Springs at a Memorial Day event. And, you know, chairs were separated, and some folks, not all of them, but some folks were wearing masks. I had a mask, but people were clearly aware of the rules and doing their best to follow the guidance. And I just think that is important. The other thing I would say is, I think what we've seen in this pandemic is that we still need to, despite this emergency, we still need to keep our eye on the ball when it comes to competing with other states. We still have a tax structure that is more burdensome than some other states, so we need to keep making that tax structure more growth-oriented, more friendly to business. And we can't take our eye off the ball just because we're in the middle of a pandemic, because we may have to deal with this for some time. I think also the pandemic has demonstrated that there's always need for more government efficiency, for smarter, leaner government that does better in terms of providing better outcomes, but spends less. And that is a big focus of mine, and that will help us get to lower taxes and make our small businesses more competitive. So I am happy to, Sylvester, to take questions or address a particular issue, but I wanted to make those introductory remarks. And I've also got, I believe, David. I've got David going to David and Ben of my office on the line, and they'll be tracking, writing down some of these questions if we need to research, or maybe we get back to you. And by the end of the call, maybe we just have to get back to you. Sylvester, do you have a way of making sure we can connect with someone who asked a question so that they get their specific question? And if someone asks one, is some way of knowing how we track that person down and give them an answer?
Yeah, yes, Governor, we do. And as you recall, in the past, we've had a call with you where there were some real specific things that came up, and I was able to just connect with your office to make sure the issue
Great.
Got taken care of.
Great.
I don't expect that to be an issue here today, because previously when we've done this, it was a rolling kind of deal, and folks were more readily available than they are right now, just due to people being strained in their business because of less employees, et cetera, et cetera. So my guess is that we'll have ample time today. That if somebody has a question, they'll be able to ask it. And so I want to remind
okay.
our members, star six, if you want to ask a question, you're going to need to unmute your phone. And so if you have
Sylvester, did you go out there just a little bit?
Yeah, I think I lost in there a little bit.
Yeah, he may be having some difficulty with his phone line. I'm sure he'll hop back right on. But if you're a member and you're on the line and you have a question, please go ahead and unmute yourself, star six, and then go ahead and just ask your question. Is there anyone on the line that would like to ask a question?
I do have a little news, breaking news here, if you want me to mention it. I just saw, I was just texted this, that Nate Smith of the Department of Health is leaving, what that's worth. He is apparently going to the CDC.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm sure our members would appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, just found that out.
I just got a text from Sylvester. He's dialing in on another number.
Hello, this is Joe Hicks with Blue Hill Wrecker. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? I'm doing great.
Hey, I had a question, and I don't know where it kind of falls in this, but I know we need to worry about our employees and providing PPP and all that. But for, is there any protections against these customers, or is there any recourse against these customers who, refuse to social distance or wear a mask and when you're trying to work with them?
Hey, can everyone hear me?
Customers.
Yeah. I don't know of a legal recourse, and let me make sure I understand what you're talking about. So you've got a customer that either walks in your office and won't wear a mask, or what specifically are you talking about?
Sorry, I was muting myself, so I wouldn't have feedback. But, yeah, That's where I'm worried that the employees are going to have issues in my business. I don't have a lot of employees who congregate, but when they're asked to wear a mask and are refusing, is there something that we should do? Is there legal protection? I mean, this is probably where the virus is going to come in for a business like mine, is through these customers, not
yeah.
Employees. sick, well, they don't come in.
Well, you have the right to decide who you help and who you don't, who's your customer and who's not. And, you know, I guess it will depend on how strongly you feel about it. If you don't want to do business with somebody who won't comply, there's not some kind of legal mechanism. You just don't have to do business with them. And certainly if someone is on your property and not following your rules, you can have them removed, either by security or police officer. So, I mean, ultimately we're seeing this a lot already, where people, and I'm talking about nationally, if you just look at video and news and what have you, all the stuff that's posted on social media, some people just don't want to comply with the rules of a restaurant that they're going in, or the rules of a store that they're going in. You know, there are a lot of stores that I've been to locally that allow people to come in without a mask, and it'll just say, if you've had a fever or been sick, please don't, you're not allowed to enter the store. But other ones will say, you know, we don't want more than three or five or whatever people in the front lobby at once, and you must wear a mask. And if someone walks in and it refuses to comply, then certainly they could, then you could have them removed if they don't remove themselves voluntarily when you tell them to. But I think that is up to you. And hopefully, I got to believe that it will be rare when people just won't physically move after they've been told by the owner of the property. I mean, there will be those instances, I'm sure. But in any event, yeah, I mean, you can have them removed, and I've seen that happen.
Hey, Joe, this is Sylvester, your state director. Governor Griffin is an attorney, as am I. And so the other thing that I would say, not only as an attorney, but as a member of the Governor's Economic Recovery Task Force, has been talking a lot about this, is you want to make sure you have a sign on your door. Whatever kind of business you have, this is important for everybody, make sure you have a sign on your door that outlines the rules that the health department has given you for opening. And then beyond that, somebody comes in, they don't want to wear the mask, they don't want to keep their social distance, then you ask them to leave. And if they don't want to leave, the best thing you can do is call 911, because what you don't want is some kind of workers' compensation issue or employment liability issue, where your employees, you direct them to be security and somebody gets hurt, and then now they want to try to sue you. And so this is Governor Griffin's call, not mine, but I just don't want to, I want to be able to give you a full answer to your question. And because I'm your state director, I can say a little bit more with regard to my legal background than I would be comfortable giving you if I were the lieutenant governor of the state of Arkansas. So, Governor Griffin, I hope you don't mind. But.
No, I appreciate that, and chime in on these. I will go, I can't, certainly not your attorney. I think, though, it should be said to Sylvester's point, the key is to never have the escalation of the conflict. And so what Sylvester is saying in terms of, as I referred to, signs on the doors and that sort of notice and all of that, the more of that you can do, the less it's going to come as a surprise to the customer, and the less able they're going to be aggravated or upset or whatever. So, yeah, I think having some very clear rules and making them well known right before people even get in there, I think that's part of making sure you never have to deal with it, as opposed to having no rules posted, or having rules posted but not one about a mask, for example. So you got something on the door about three at a time or five at a time. Somebody walks in. You say, hey, please put on a mask. They say, I don't have a mask. There's no rule on the door about the mask, right? You've immediately created, even though they shouldn't act that way, and they should leave a place that's yours, you've immediately given somebody who likes to argue an opportunity to argue. And so the more transparent you can be and upfront you can be and clear you can be with your rules from the outset, I think that's a good thing to avoid the conflict entirely. We don't have to get into this, but if you've got someone who is being reckless and goes beyond just sort of not wanting to follow your rule, then you can get into some criminality issues. And we've had discussions. There's been some talk of an instance or two in the state like that where people are just purposely trying to get people sick, but that's not what you're talking about.
Star six. If you have a question, and unmute your phone. And Joe, I want to thank you for doing a good job while I was off the line here. But make sure that you give Governor Griffin your first name in the name of your business. And if it's not obvious the type of business you're in, tell him from the name, then certainly tell him what kind of business you're in as well. Do we have any other members that want to jump out with a question right now? Star six. All right, Governor, I've got a question while we wait for someone to press star six for us. You mentioned the liability protection effort that we're embarking on as a task force with the governor. You know as well as I do that in the past, whenever we've tried to implement some sort of tort reform, the Supreme Court has struck it down and said that, hey, that's our area of governance, not the legislature's. What do you think the legislature can really do with regard to providing liability protection? And I should have said this from the onset. I had some members send me some questions on the front end, Governor. Some folks are kind of gun-shy. So this is actually a question from our members.
Yeah, no, look, this has been an interesting issue to follow over the last, over a decade, and aging myself. And so you got several things going on here. You've got the legislature's original act. You've got Supreme Court saying that nobody else can do it but them. You've got attempts to change the Constitution, and those have failed. And so it sort of brings us to where we are now. Well, what has happened in the current environment is the governor has already implemented liability rules for healthcare workers, liability protections. And that was in one of his, I don't remember what week that was of this, but you remember, Sylvester, that was in some of the early directives. Probably in the first 3 weeks, correct?
Yes, sir. And early on.
Yeah. And so I think you've got a couple of things to deal with here. I think that whatever the governor and you guys who are working on this task force, whatever y'all are going to do, will be done, I would assume, would be done by the governor. Through another directive that would come under his emergency powers. That's my understanding. Because if you wait, and there's no indication that anybody's going to wait, but if you wait until an emergency's over, COVID-19's over, and then you sort of look backwards and say, hey, we want to pass some kind of, well, then you're right back in the same environment where the Supreme Court has said you can't do things without us doing them, et cetera. It's not the legislature's constitutional right. Then this is all under the state constitution, obviously not the federal constitution. I mean, I could make the case, I think pretty clearly, that what the governor did with regard to healthcare workers and the liability protection for healthcare workers would, in the Supreme Court's eyes, have been obviously illegal unconstitutional for him to do or the legislature to do through legislation if it wouldn't have been during a pandemic. So I think that this would have to be done in a directive in the same way the healthcare protections, liability protections were done in a directive. Does that make sense, Sylvester?
Yes, sir, it does. And, you know, as a business advocacy person, I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court agrees with you. And I don't think we'll know for sure until somebody tries to sue one of these healthcare workers and say that the executive order was
unconstitutional. Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. Yeah. But I do think there is. Yeah, that's right. I do think there's great leeway historically during emergencies for the executive to take all sorts of action that they couldn't have gotten away with outside of the emergency. I will say this, though. The longer an emergency lasts, however defined an emergency is, I think the less leeway the people of the state, not just this state, any state, we've seen this in some other states, the less leeway the people of the state and also the court system and others are going to give an executive to act. You know, you can't, and I'm not saying this is going on here, but it's not indefinite. You can't just say, well, it's a permanent emergency, you know, and the governor's not doing that, to be clear. But there is a certain restlessness in the citizenry and also, I'm sure, on the courts, with the judges on the courts and justices in the Supreme Court, the longer this goes on. In the bottom, the common sense point I'm making is there's some things that a governor could do in the first 2-3 weeks that they're not going to be able to do 8 months later. That's just common sense. So we'll see where this goes. But look, anything could be challenged, as all of us know. Whether it's successful or not, we'll see. But it will be very interesting to watch.
Star 6 members, the governor would like to hear from you. If anyone who's live on the call has a question, do we have one? Star 6. Governor, I've got another one that was emailed in from one of my leadership council members. And if you would, in answering this question, could you talk a little bit about some of the programs that we've had here in the state to help small businesses? Because the question is, do you anticipate there being any more funding released by the state to help small business? And so I hope everyone knows about the PPE program and the other things that we've done, but you may want to give a quick refresh on that. And then the question is, do you anticipate there being any more funding released down the pike?
Sure. Well, thanks for that question. There have been a number of different programs that have come from both the state and the federal government, whether it be payroll protection from the feds or some of the grant loan programs that have come out of Arkansas Economic Development Commission. So to get to the very specific question, do I think another batch or another program or initiative or another release of cash will come for small businesses? First of all, just to emphasize, as I said earlier, I'm elected separately from the governor, so whether that happens or not will not be my decision. But here's what I think. I talked to a lot of people on the federal level. Recently, we've had several of them do town halls with me, and I don't think on the federal level, first of all, I don't think there's a lot of an appetite right now to do anything additional. I think that people are soured over, at least our federal delegation soured over some of Pelosi's ideas for the next wave of stuff to come out. Now, in the state, in terms of a program, I do not know of any additional program. I do know that there's a lot of money still to be distributed that is being overseen by the governor's appointees. And you're not on that task force, Sylvester. You're on the recovery, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm on the Economic Recovery Task Force, not the, the one handing out the money.
Right. But so, you know, there will be money put out from that task force. I don't foresee any widespread grants or loans, but I could be, you know, that's not ultimately my call. But I haven't heard of any that are on the horizon. But I'll tell you what we could do if there's a name, or we could just get this info back to you. We will ask a person or two that are in charge of that big pot of federal money and that is being administered through the state, and we'll find out whether there's anything that people are talking about that NFIB members might be interested in. And we will get that information back to you, Sylvester. The other thing I would say, particularly on the unemployment website and some of the problems that have been associated with that, some of the political discussion about that, you know, that's been in the news quite a bit. Look, I think that there have been numerous problems. A lot of people have been frustrated. My office has received numerous calls in terms of people who can't get through or haven't been able to get through to the folks handling unemployment claims. And, you know, they have added more people, and they've worked to address some of that. But I think that's obviously still an issue. And then the website vulnerability related to the data and the vulnerability to hacking of the data on the unemployment claim website, that's still an ongoing problem. And we'll try to keep anybody updated on that if they're interested in information on that. That seems to be there was an article in the paper today that mentioned it, and that seems to be sort of a developing issue. But you know, these sorts of problems cause more stress, not only for everyday Arkansans, but particularly for small business owners. And sometimes just a little bit of information, one way or the other, even if it's not what you wanted to hear, information can provide a little certainty, and we're happy to try to get y'all updates as this unfolds, because we're some of this stuff we're watching it and learning with you, but we can certainly make calls and dig a little more dig a little deeper if you need us to.
All right, once again, remember star six to unmute your phone and ask a question. Do we have someone that has a question ready for Governor Griffin? Star six. All right, Governor.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Governor. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Well, I was just going to say, I want to make sure everybody's got my cell, because you can always call or text me, and if I may or may not have your phone, depending on who you are, in my phone, so make sure you tell me who you are when you're texting, and you know, I'd be happy to help anyway. 501-837-5190. Go ahead, Sylvester.
And if you text them, make sure you mention you're an NFIB member. For those that missed the introduction, the governor was long into NFIB member when he had his own small business. So that might get you a text back just a little faster. One more question that we have, and I want members I know sometimes it's kind of intimidating talking to statewide elected officials, but as you can tell, Governor Griffin is really approachable. So if you have a question live, hit star six. I have another one, Governor, that was sent in beforehand. The state has not done any layoffs up to this point. Do you think that's a wise choice in light of the budget cuts the state is facing?
Well, I think the governor has not said he's going to let anybody, he's not going to let, he hasn't told me whether he's going to lay anybody off or not. But look, here's the thing about state government. State government can reduce workforce every day, by attrition. Every single day you have people moving jobs, quitting, retiring, getting fired, whatever. So unlike government programs, which if you don't touch them, they keep spending. With regard to workers, you have an ally when it comes to efficiency and saving money, and that's attrition. So if you lay no one off, you can still reduce numbers and save money by taking advantage of attrition and reorganizing as people attrit, as people leave. So if your point is we need a leaner government that does more with less, hallelujah. Let me just tell you, not that anybody asked, but I'm going to tell you because I think it's instructive here. So when I took office as lieutenant governor, my office was set for 5 employees. That's it. I cut the slots to 3 immediately, but I only hired 2. And I have only had 2 the entire 6 years. So I went from 5 to 2 workers. Okay. Now, I cut the budget over 15%, about 16% first year, and froze it. Okay. So not only is my office is not going up, we've frozen our budget at 16% below what it was in 2014, whatever it was. So what's the point? The point is we're doing more than ever in my office. So you can do more with less. You have to change your processes and you have to look for efficiencies, et cetera. You have to use technology and innovation and shared services among agencies, all kinds of things like that. But you do that stuff every single day in the private sector, every single day. And government has a hard time doing it, but we need to do it. We absolutely need to do it. You have to make those changes because if you don't, you get beat. You get through competition. Well, government doesn't worry about that because let me tell you, if a government agency does a poor job, you know what they get next year? They get more money because they'll say the reason we did a poor job is didn't have enough money. If they do a great job, you know what they get the next year? More money because they did a great job. And so we want them to do more. So what's the bottom line? Government agencies, whether they do great or poorly, they get more money every year pretty much. That's the general rule. That is so different than the private sector and what you have to deal with. When things get tight, you make changes and you tighten your belt. Government is horrible at that. And so I preach that all the time. Now, I only have 5 employee slots historically accountable to me, and they're down to 2. So I've done, you know, for my specific office, what I can do, but I still preach the principle to the rest of the government. And I knew that if I didn't make changes like that, then I couldn't, it would be hard to ask other people to. So I don't know who asked that question, and I'm not sure that's exactly what you meant to ask, what I'm answering, but I'll tell you, if the point is we need a leaner government that does more with less, hallelujah. We absolutely do. And it's government doesn't want to change because government is never worried about going out of business. That's why they don't change easily. So anyway, I'm not sure, Sylvester, that's exactly what was asked, but I got a little excited, and I think for good reason, because it's my freaking money and it's your money and I'm tired of seeing it wasted.
Well, Governor, I think that's very consistent with our members' position. I think that that was just really what our folks probably wanted to hear. And unless there's a member that has another question, I think that's the high note to close the call on. So I'm just going to give one last call. *6. If you're there and you've got a burning question, otherwise email me or call the NFIB office, 501-801-1974, or text Governor Griffin. So last call, *6. Anybody? Well, Governor, on behalf of our members, I want to thank you so much for all of this. I want to thank our members, of course, for their membership. And, Governor, if you've got a closing point that you think will be more powerful than the one you just made, I'll give you the time to make it now.
I don't know how powerful it will be, but let me just say this. I appreciate you, Sylvester. I love the NFIB. When I ought to re-up. I've got a small business now. I've been a NFIB member. I was 100%. I had 100% NFIB voting record, if I remember correctly, when I was in Congress. And love y'all. Love what you do. You're the backbone of job creation in this country. And it's a shame that when y'all create most of the jobs, small to medium-sized businesses create most of the jobs, it's a shame other businesses get a lot of special treatment. And, you know, that's just wrong. We just need good, solid policies that will allow every business to grow, big, medium, or small. And so appreciate you. You got my cell number. Call me. Text me. Be safe. And go make some money and do some business and grow jobs.
Hey, thank you so much, Governor. And thank you, members. Everyone have a great day. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.